Holy Lord God Almighty. Page number 5. Sing it out together. Holy, holy.
Forward to God doing a great work this morning in our midst. Thank you for joining us. Welcome our online guests. So many are here and our guests this morning, and of course our church family, we welcome you. And I know we've got some who are out on vacation, but others that have come in, and you're on vacation. So thank you for joining us. And Evangelo down here has his fiance, Fanula, from Toronto with us today. And she was in Tabernacle Bible class this morning. We were so honored to have her here. He told us he had a fiance. We didn't believe him. And so we're just delighted. We did believe him. We're grateful that you're here this morning. And thank God for his goodness, his grace. You've sung so well. And we serve a holy and a righteous God. And we want to go to prayer this morning. Wouldn't it be great if all of us, as we bow our heads, would truly seek the Lord in prayer? And so let's endeavor to do that at this time and ask God to meet with us. Our Father, we thank you that you are holy, you're almighty, you're merciful. We thank you for your love and goodness to us. God, we need you. We're nothing without you. And Father, we desire to see a glimpse of your glory today. Speak to our heart through song, congregational, special music, the choir. And then, Father, as we come to the preaching of your word, oh Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives today. I pray that you would anoint the preaching of your word. Thank you for our pastor who studied and labored and prayed. Use him in a powerful way to draw the lost to salvation. And God, I pray that you would comfort and strengthen your church, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing.
It's good to have you in church today. Thank you, choir. Always enjoy hearing the choir. Naomi on that special instrumentalist. And we're grateful you're here up in the balconies, loaded up there with people, filled. We're grateful that you're here, lower floor, our friends that are literally watching around the globe. Sunday is the Lord's Day. We talk about it. It's a holy day. It's not a holiday. And it's a day to worship God. And you're here. And visitors, it's a delight to have you. We want the ushers to come through the house with a visitor brochure. And it sort of introduces you to our church. And they come right now. Either trip them, throw a psalm book at them, or raise your hand. But get everywhere we have visitors, ushers, if you look for them. And make sure they all have that. You can fill out the card and place in the offering plate if you'd like to at the end, later in the service. And thank you for being in the Lord's house. Sunday school was great today. All of our adult classes are, that's my department, so I'm watching, are growing, even this summer. And today the Brazilian class was just, what did you wind up with the Brazilian class? 21. A brand new class, Brazilians. And we're having a Brazilian barbecue, and they've made sides, and our class has made sides, the two committed. And you're not invited if you're not the two committed. Well, let me help. Let me help. No, you're not coming. Do your own meat. But thank you so much, and that'll be right after the morning service. Tonight's service is 6 o'clock, and we're in a series, fourth message tonight, When a Nation Forgets God. And I just believe, I truly believe, there are two events in my lifetime, by the grace of God, that are going to happen. Revival and rapture. I just believe they both can happen. I've said it so many times the last couple of years. Our Lord is not willing that any should perish. He knows the next event after the rapture is judgment. The 7 years of tribulation on this earth. I believe He would have all men to be saved. I believe there'll be one more sweep. It's with God's people waking up. My people is called by my name. God shall heal your land if God's people wake up. 6 o'clock tonight. Oh, what a time we'll have. It'll be a special music. We'll have a full choir tonight, orchestra. We have folks that are out in these buildings this hour. The other property's packed as well. Let's try the bulletin, ushers, if you'll come. And would you get it out to everybody? If we've missed you, we'll get it out to you real quickly. And the bulletin, you can read it for yourself. 6 o'clock tonight, there's a fellowship afterwards, if you'll see that in the bulletin and all that's going on. There's a lot of things to talk about, but we'll let you read it. That'll be great. Brother Martinez, will you come? There's a great song called The Haven of Rest. It's page number 278 in that psalm book right in front of you there. 278, the choir will come join you. The Haven of Rest.
My soul in sad exile is out of life's feet. But praise God for the haven of rest. 278. Lift it up on the first together now.
My soul is at exile. Was out of my sleep. Some burden will sin. This rest. For my furnace will always save me.
Oh, look at this.
Turn the haven of rest.
nations that are man-made and will someday pass away. It won't be built where the storms of life can batter and where the storm clouds often hide the light of day.
But the cornerstone of God is my foundation, the root of David, Christ the Lord, my coming King. Oh, what a welcome and homecoming that awaits me. And I'm expecting any day to move right in.
And wait till you see my brand new home.
Sins were oh so bad.
Just guilty sinners, all of us. And you sit here, you say, well, I'm the worst of the worst. You know, a man that wrote most of the New Testament said that, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I could match you sin for sin because we're all sinners. And some of you are so judgmental of yourself that you'll never have a life of victory. We've all failed. But Jesus never fails. God reached down to me this fall. It will be 68 years ago that God saw my condition and He saved me. I wish the last 68 years I'd been a better person. I wish I'd obeyed more and been kinder and all these things. I wish I could say I was without sin and flawless. I wish I could say I never lost my temper. A lot of things I've so failed. But I sing that song so often, Jesus never fails. And today, whatever your condition is, you need Christ. Some of the bus kids are up here today in one of our divisions, and we're always so honored to have you in here. I appreciate you so very much. God bless us with a great bus ministry. 1.5 million young people have ridden the bus to church now these 48, almost 49 years. We're getting ready for a youth conference, and Brother Flood, I'd like you to come in a moment and tell us about that youth conference, because next Sunday is Father's Day, and this front will be different. We won't have this huge choir that sang this morning. I wish they were here. They'll be out here, but the front will be different for the theme of the week. And we begin on Monday for the 41st National Youth Conference. It is amazing. And Brother Flood's in charge of it. Tell us a little bit. They're coming from all over the country about the 41st Annual National Youth Conference.
Yes, sir. A week from tomorrow begins the 41st National Youth Conference. The theme is Discover, and it's exploratory theme because the young people, we need a new generation of young people to discover what God has in store for their life, to discover not only God's plan for their life, but God's provision for their life, God's peace in their life, and everything that God has in store for them, that there is a good life ahead of them. Even though it looks so terrible, looks so bleak, it looks so horrible, if you look at the world, and what kind of hope can the world offer? But Jesus Christ can offer us hope that the world cannot offer. And God can offer a solution that the world cannot give. And so when we have a young generation of people and teenagers, literally hundreds upon hundreds of teenagers from across the country, and specifically in California, but all of the states in the United States, will be here a week from tomorrow, kicking off the 41st Youth Conference. And the theme is Discover. If you would pray as a church family, and we have the opportunity and the privilege to host this conference, and God has done some amazing things in the decades past, and we're asking Him to do it once again next week.
I want to say that I really believe in this generation of young people. I believe we've wronged them. My generation gave them drugs, gave them the hippie movement, gave them rock and roll, gave them abortion, gave them everything imaginable. It's destroyed them. And yet I look at our bus kids that come, our own kids in the church, and kids around here. I just believe there's a lot of hope for them. I know our president came out and said somewhere between the third grade and fifth grade, children need to know how to read. That hurt me so badly because in our Christian school, some of our preschoolers are reading pretty well, but kindergarten, you don't graduate if you don't know how to read. You can't go forward. And God's blessed us with so many great graduates and tremendous young people. Growing up, most of our juniors and seniors and even sophomores in high school have jobs for the summer. They hire our kids. One, they'll pass the drug test. Two, they'll show up. Three, they'll work. But I think that's a lot of our kids that could be that way. And we've seen good things happen. Ushers, you come, please, as they're coming. This church operates not on any outside source, but on the free will gifts of God's people. giving tithes and offering. The word tithe in the Bible is a tenth part. And so we're excited about God's people giving today. I want you to pray for many in our church that are ill and sick and afflicted. I know you know about Dennis Pence, that had a leg removed and he's had some difficulties there, but you pray for him. Brother Hernandez's father was discovered yesterday. He'd passed away and suddenly they didn't plan on that. So you pray for Brother Octavio. Of course, he's been recovering from this wound in his leg, and you pray for them these days. Brother Trevor, Angela, your son-in-law, Brother Manuel, your son-in-law, he's such a wonderful young man. But on May 9th, he began to lose weight. He's not very large as he is. He's a very young father of two. He's lost 40 pounds in the last 30 days. He's hospitalized today. He's probably watching. But it looks like they discovered the problem, and they're going to deal with it. So you pray, oh, my goodness, we feared so many different things it could have been. And pray for several others that are sick and ill and afflicted, going through cancer and different things of that nature. Our Father, thank you for the privilege to give today, and I ask your blessing upon this offering. May we be found very generous as we give back to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22. And I mentioned our class, we're glad to have Brother Joseph and his wife Frazier with us, grew up on the mission field. Thank you for being here today. And all of you, visitors everywhere. We're in the summer slump, but it certainly doesn't look like visitors everywhere. Our college students are gone. We have several groups that are out today. One in Georgia singing and preaching. One in Indiana today, one in California. We have several fellows that left this week for Estonia. We've had people in foreign countries and preaching this summer, and we'll look forward to having them back in the fall and having this place just completely packed. Good crowd this morning, wonderful crowd. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. Our church anniversary is July 14th. We'll be 49 years of age. When I look back 49 years ago, 49 years ago, even on opening, we did not own one thing. We didn't own a piece of property. We did not own a building. We rented. We didn't own a songbook. We had secondhand songbooks. We didn't have a communion set. We didn't have a nice pulpit like this. We didn't have air conditioning for, I guess, 10, 15 years. We had old buses, 1949 International. Maybe it wasn't that old back then. 1956 GMC and 1957 Chevy. And they broke down every week. Just every week we had to have the tow truck bring them on in. And yet God's blessed us. We have a wonderful Christian school, a college, publications, radio stations around the globe. We have our own radio station, and now we're on a radio station up in Northern California. Just turn it on in your car, you have it right there. And missionaries around the globe, and I'm just so very grateful for you, God's people. You did that by trusting God. You built, and I know it's not a lot of acres, when you consider other churches, but we have 7.7 acres in the heart of the Silicon Valley. And all the 210 or 15 or 20,000 square feet of buildings, you did that because you let God use you. And so our 49th anniversary, and I'm telling you that because next year, July 13th, if you think in 2025 you're taking a vacation on July 13th, we're gonna flatten your tires, every single one of you. I promise you that. You are not missing 50 years, and I hope you all be here. Our kids all have called us and said all of our kids and our grandkids, 22 of us, will be here, and they said, we're coming for the week. That's great, and we're glad about that. I'll tell you that right now. And it's not Ms. Treber and I. We're not celebrating our anniversary of the church. We're celebrating your anniversary. It's your church. It's God's church. And I want it to be not an individual. I want us to be all of us together. I believe you'll be thrilled with the museum, a 50-year museum. That's the first time I use that word, that you're going to see the museum that's being prepared for you. The Super Bowl ring that's going in the museum from 1975. We have it. And I think you'll see that there are various things that we didn't have the internet. We didn't even have pagers yet. We had rotary phones back then. I'll never forget our phone number of church was 241-4754. Then they changed it to 247. And then they changed it to 988-8881. And we bought up all those lines up to 9, I think we have. And I think you'll just rejoice what God's done through you. God's people, you've been so faithful, so dedicated. Let's read together. I'll ask you to stand today. Rarely we do that. We will today. Revelation 22, 1 through 7. I ask you to stand so you'll stay awake for the next 4 hours as I preach. Don't worry, I'm not a long-winded preacher. But I'm not if you say amen once in a while, but if you just sit there, it could be weeks before I get done with this message today. Let's read together Revelation 22, the very last chapter, verses 1 through 7. Let's stay together. Pause at the comma, semicolons, and periods. Ready? Begin. And he showed me a pure river. Let's bow for prayer. Father, once again, I come into your presence and ask that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. I thank you for these wonderful people and the privilege to be called their friend and pastor. I thank you that my wife and I have been able to raise our kids here and our grandkids. You've been so good to us. I thank you for the faithfulness of our loving God. You've been so faithful. I thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. Lord, I don't know the condition of all of us, but I do know that undoubtedly some here are unsaved and they do not know that heaven's their home. Many are saved. Some are backslidden, but they're here. And some are trying to be right. Some battle habits, drink, drugs. Some battle sins. And all of us battle ourselves. And I pray that this morning for a few moments you'd speak to us. We're so close to eternity. We're in the last chapter in this book, and this last chapter gives us so much insight to the future. Speak to us, that's my prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many years ago in the 70s, we had one of our missionaries Brother Bill Bramlett. He's been in Australia since we began supporting him in the 70s. And Bill came to the pulpit and sang in the old building this little chorus. We win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win. Well, I've read the back of the book with you right now. It seems like we lose a lot. And it seems like this world is anti-God these days, and it is. But we're going to win.
Yeah.
I'm on the winning side. And when the last day is lived on planet Earth, we're winners. I want you to know that I want to speak to you this morning on the final moment. This chapter deals with the final moment before eternity. And if you want to have a place called heaven, you need to make preparation today. The trio sang about that foundation, and Brother Dan sang about put it on my account, my sin. And Jesus said, put it on my account. I'll take your sin. Your sin and your iniquity, I'll remove and remember no more. They're as far as the east is from the west. If he were said, they're far as the north is from the south, you can judge when you begin going north or south. But you cannot ever judge where you're always heading east or you're always heading west. You can catch up with yourself, but you're still going west. Or you can catch up, you're still going east. This chapter is such a powerful chapter. Verse 1, it says, and they showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. The throne. By way of introduction, we see that throne in verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God. 38 times you find the throne of God in this book of Revelation. And we thank God for the throne of God. But that throne is also going to be a judgment throne. Turn back with me, if you will, in chapter 20, in chapter number 20 of Revelation. And we know there are two judgments ahead for all people. One judgment is the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, where we receive the works done in our flesh. If you're a Christian, we will never stand before God for our sin. I'll never stand before a holy God and be judged for my sin. My sin, your sin, if you're saved, was judged at Calvary. He said, your sin and iniquity, I'll remember no more. He'll never bring them back up to our account. He won't stand on that throne and say, now, Jack, here's when you sinned on what's the date today? June the 9th, 2024, because we sin every day. I'm not trying to make light of it. But my sins, gone. We sing when we're little kids in elementary school. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. My sins are gone. God took my sins and iniquity. He said, I'll remember them no more. That's because he died for me. And yet the Bible says that those that are not saved will stand before God. And they will be judged. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Christians will never be at that great white throne. And him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. Some folks have been laid to rest at sea. And they died on ships and were died in wars. And the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. My name, when I got saved 68 years ago, God wrote my name in the book of life. Oh, as I said earlier, I wish I could say I've lived perfect since then. I can remember getting angry, getting mad, putting my fist through the door of my house. I wanted to hit my sister so bad, and I knew my dad would never let me hit a girl. And I took that fist as about a 13-year-old boy, mad at my sister, and I hit that door, and it was a hollow core door. Little did I know I was going to put a big hole in that door. My dad and mother weren't home. I felt so ashamed of myself. I love my sisters. One's on earth, one's in heaven. And they were such sweet sisters, and my living sister, such a sweet sister as well. And I remember that day, my sisters were so good to me. They knew I was so much in anguish over what I'd done. And I put a poster over my door and left it there. My mother and dad never knew it. You know, I went off to Bible college. And when I was in Bible college, I was about 2,500 miles away from my parents. My parents decided to move. And when they decided to move, they took that poster off the door. My dad, I called. He said, "Son, I want you to call." I think it was every other week. I'll pay for a collect call. And I'd go down to the phone booth. I'd put the quarter in or dime in. And I'd call collect. And he said, "I want you to talk to your mother at least every other week. And I want you to write her a letter every week." And so I did that. My dad answered the phone. "Will you receive the collect call from Jack?" "Oh, yes, we will." That was a little bit different attitude. He normally said, "Yes." "Oh, yes, we will. Son, we're moving." I said, "Great." He said, "There's a poster on your door. We just took it off." "How'd that hole get there?" And I said, "Did those girls do that again?" You know, he knew. He smiled. He must have smiled. He was laughing with me. He said, "When did you do that?" I said, "Oh, about 6 years ago, I guess, or five, or whatever." You know, I'm not happy with myself. I confess things to God every day of my life. I don't feel like I have to resign the ministry. I just can't live a perfect life. But I have a perfect Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses me from all my sin. But if your name is not written in the book of life, the Bible says you're going to be judged out of that book, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Look, as we're back in chapter 22, I find not only is there a throne of God by introduction, I find in heaven that day there'll be no more curse. And verse 3, there shall be no more curse. No more curse. Why? Because of the Lamb of God. 29 times in this book of Revelation, we find the Lamb of God. John said, the next day he seeth Jesus coming. John 1:29 said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, a Lamb that is slain for our sins." Isaiah chapter 3. "He is brought as a lamb to the shearers is dumb." So they slaughtered Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross. He paid for our sins. And his last word was, "It is finished." In other words, completely paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. "I owe a debt I cannot pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away." Are you saved? I'm on a campaign in my personal life. I'm trying to every day pass tracks and talk to people. But I'm praying that every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we'll see people saved in this church, because it is the final hour. We're in the final moments, and Jesus is coming again. The next event on God's calendar, prophetic calendar, is what is called the rapture of the church. The Bible says that he'll come again in a twinkling of an eye, not a blinking. You can measure a blink. You cannot measure a twinkling of an eye. He'll come again. And the Bible says that he'll come and receive us unto himself, that where we are, he may be also. And here in the Bible, there'll be no more curse. The rapture is the next event. And we're in heaven for 7 years. There's two events in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ, we mentioned that. And the marriage supper of the Lamb. But on planet Earth, judgment begins. Yes, sir. Judgment begins. There's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. Right. There'll be a wholesale slaughter. Men will be slaughtering one another. The Bible says we'll turn to one world religion, Revelation chapter 19. It'll be located in Rome. And the Bible says that we will be under one faith, one religion. We'll be gone. We'll be in heaven. The Bible says you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have a chip, unless you have the marking 666. I don't know how they'll do that. Will they do it with a chip? I know a man in this valley who is a leading mayor of one of the largest cities, and he's already been implanted according to his words. They're talking already about placing chips so that you don't have to carry credit cards or money or anything. The chip. Yep. And ladies and gentlemen, we're so close to the return of the Lord. When man's hearts begin to wax worse and worse, I go to the book of I'm going to get to my message. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, but it says in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of God. The days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There was evil, and every imagination of their thoughts were evil continually. I'm just shocked at all the politicians, men and ladies, that can just swear. I've not seen the news since last election, but I see news on my phone. And I'm amazed at the ladies in the House of Representatives and the Congress that just swear. I remember one day standing a few years ago where the Speaker of the House stands. And I stood there and opened up Congress with prayer. I thought I was on holy ground. I felt like it was sacred ground where that body of politicians meet. To me, it's very respectful. And yet women are blaspheming and swearing, and men are blaspheming, both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And the evil imaginations of the thoughts and all that's going on. And yet God says that's how it was in the day of Noah. He says as it was in the day of Lot. What was in the day of Lot? Lot went to Sodom. Sodom is a city that had been destroyed by brimstone. It's still blackened ash to this day because they had given themselves over to sodomy. Sodomy, the Bible says, men burning in their lust toward men, ladies burning in their lust toward ladies. That's not Bible. In the beginning, God created male and female, created he them. And yet we try to blaspheme God and redefine everything. 21 judgments are coming. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5 and chapter 22. And there shall be no need of a candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want you to see some thoughts in this brief message today of the final moments. And I really truly believe we're running out of time.
Yes, sir.
I believe we're running out of time. I don't know. I never thought it was going to get this worse, this bad. But it seems like it's getting worse and worse. And God says it's going to do that. But how much more worse can we get, Brother Morris? I mean, how much more? I guess we can, but we're down in the gutter, in the sewer. What we do to little children, mutilating their bodies, changing them, letting them have abortions without a mother or dad even knowing about it. Giving them blocks, shots that can change their genders. What are we thinking? How God says you cannot hurt, offend a little one. It'd be better if a millstone, he said, was hung around your neck and you're thrown in the depths of the sea than to hurt a child. This text, the final moments, I find the return of our Lord is instantaneous. It's an instantaneous. Look at verse number 7. You fill in the word that I pause at. Behold, I come quickly. Would you look with me in verse number 12? Try it again. And behold, I come. And would you look at verse number 20? He which hath testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Quickly means sudden. When we don't know he's coming, but he's coming. Maybe today our Lord will come, but it's instantaneous. It's the word instantaneous or quickly means to be surprised. Surprise. It means no delay. We live as if we have plenty of time. Got plenty of time to get right with my wife or my husband. You better get right today. All it takes is saying, wife, I was wrong. Well, I'm not going to do that. You remember, honey, that time when I was wrong, I did something, who knows, I've really never been wrong in our marriage ever, 51 years plus. But I did something, I could never harbor anything. And I got upset over something. I didn't swear at her, hit her, nothing like that. I just got frustrated. Because you know how women can be, fellas. And ladies, you know how men can be, right? And it was really always me. And I said something and I got frustrated. But I always come back immediately. I want my life to match what people think in the pulpit. I want it to match at home. And the pulpit and the palace has to match. And it just took me a few minutes. I went back. I said, honey, I want to let you know. Boy, this is hard to say for a man. Brother Adam, maybe you ought to think about this if you would. Okay, these words are very difficult to say. And fellas, I'm still a man, so don't judge me what I said. I said I was wrong. Oh, fellas, don't you hate it? I'm so full of pride. And I said to her, you know, here I am, this bulk of muscle. If you want to feel it afterwards, just hangs down here. I had to say, I'm sorry. That just burned me up. And, you know, but I was sorry. And she said, I accept your apology. You have got to be kidding me. I said, well. She said, well, what? I said, what about you? And she said, I'll never forget. She taught me something. She goes, so you're not really sorry. You're just negotiating. Where do you girls get all this wisdom from? So I wish you could hear all the comments going on back here. Apparently you fellas have been there, haven't you? But I got a little frustrated again. And I had to come back. Brother Mofa, I'm feeling like you're under conviction right now back there. I just feel like I saw your head go down. So who won the argument last night, your wife or you? She won. So there was an argument last night. Oh, boy, I caught one of our young men in our class this morning about that. Brother Davey's been married for 1 year. I said, who won the first argument? He said, well, she did. So I said, there have been one. Huh? There has been. He goes, oh, yeah, on the honeymoon. No, wait. He was just joking with me. And I got upset again. I had to come back a few minutes later and say, I'm sorry. I learned something. You know, if you've offended your wife or you've offended or hurt your husband, why don't you just humble yourself? I'm so sorry. It's too late when they passed away. A preacher friend of mine, he was a police officer and they went into the ministry. And there was an awful accident years ago. The police cars and medics were going by his church. And he decided to go and check it out, and he found it was his wife. And she had passed away in that accident. It's 28 years ago today. My wife reminded me, our niece was coming home from church, sitting in the car with her dad. Her dad's suffering with cancer right now. And Jennifer, her brother was in the back seat. He had just had brain surgery, I'm guessing an 18-year-old boy or so. They had drilled holes to fix some things in it, and he was recovering. A car hit him from behind on the road turning to the family farm in Illinois. That threw that car up on the Brown farm. And that dad was able to get out, but they couldn't get her out. His brother came, Rich, your brother, was right there on that corner of Scott Road, Kishwaukee Farm Road there. And he turned to his brother, her dad, and said, Jennifer is gone. He watched her draw his last breath, his daughter. I'll never forget that phone call 28 years ago today. You see, we think we have a lot of time to get things right with our children. I'm glad that your brother and his wife, Dwayne and Gail, were so right with their children. I want to be so right with God's people. I may be nearer the shore than many of you. Maybe you're nearer than I am. But I've lived a good life, a wonderful life. I don't want to be wrong with anybody. I don't want to be wrong with our children. I don't want to be wrong with their mates or our grandkids. Life is but a vapor. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Either it's the rapture is going to be quick, or perhaps your death will be quick. The second thing I find, not only an instantaneous return, but I want you to see there's a final invitation. This invitation, verse 17. Would you read it with me? Ready? Begin. And the Spirit, the bride, say, and let him that heareth say, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's final invitation is, will you come to me? God's word says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, yoke up as animals yoke up with a yoke. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is hard. Hey, kids up there in the balcony and down here, teenagers around, scattered around, and I know all the children are out, but I want you to know that the world will say, try this drug, fentanyl. Well, 108,000 kids tried it last year and died on the streets of our city. Try fentanyl. Try this drug. Well, marijuana is not bad. Well, then why does it burn your brain up and you're never able throughout life then to calculate like you could have calculated? Hey, try this liquor. It's not going to hurt you. But God's word says, my yoke is easy. See, it's so hard to live for God. It's so hard to stand up and say, no drugs and no drink and no pornography and no immorality. Hard. No, God says it's easy. Amen. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You're in the ministry. We've been in the ministry a long time. I've watched men start drinking and ladies start drinking. And that freedom that they think they finally have away from God, that freedom always 100% enslaves them. Yes, sir. I've watched grown men and grown ladies weep at their homes and in my office saying, it's got me. I need to dry out. I've watched people get on drugs and it just controls them. And there's no hope, it seems like. No hope to get dried out. God's way is easy compared to what this world's going to do for you. Amen. God's word says there's a final invitation. Out of my bondage, sorrow, night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy gladness, freedom, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. It's an old invitation song written in 1887. I think of that song. It was written in 1893, if I'm not mistaken. I've wandered far away from God. Maybe you're saved, but you've wandered from God. But now I'm coming home. The paths of sin no long I trod. Now I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. I think we know, most of us know that secular song, tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. But that did not come originally from that. That came from a little mother. And her son got away from God so many years ago. Went and lived in the big city and spent all his living and spent everything and ruined his life. But mother said, son, you come home. He wrote, said, mother, it's been years now. I'd like to come home. I'm going to be on the train that passes by our little cottage. And mother, if I see a white handkerchief in the tree, I know I can come home. But if I look out that window, that train, as we pass our cottage and don't see that white handkerchief, I'll just keep on traveling and not bother your life ever again. Anticipation began to build as they would wind their way closer to his little village, a little cottage where his mother lived, and they're making the final bend. And to his amazement, he looked. And he saw in every tree there was handkerchiefs, there were towels, there were bed sheets, white white was just everywhere. In other words, son, come on home. Today you're a Christian, you've been away from God, come on home. I'm out of time, but I see here it's instantaneous. I see there's an invitation, and I see the intensity of it. Verse 20, he which testifieth, he says, saying, surely, surely, in other words, intense, I come quickly. I'm coming again. Don't live as if you have endless time. There's a song, I think it was written in the 1960s, if I remember. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. Chapter 22 is God's final call. We'll have someone in this church are related to this church pass away this week. Every week we do. I find that death is no respecter of persons. It may be someone young, it may be someone older. Emma's sweet little brother, you guys took her to the airport. College graduation ended. She got on the plane on Thursday morning a few weeks ago. And flying home back to Virginia, she got off the plane only to find that that morning her 13-year-old brother was killed in an accident. She was welcoming home, going to be welcomed home by her family and siblings and her home church, Gilgrove Baptist Church. But instead of joy at the airport, there was sorrow. It could be God's final call. I find in the Bible, I think sometimes we step over, God keeps calling and calling and calling to get right. I say, I'm not going to get right. And God just gives you over to whatever you want. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Be right with one another. Oh, be right with one another. I can't imagine losing my wife in death. But I hope that the last day she is alive or the last day I'm alive, I want to be so right with her. She's been such a wonderful, wonderful wife. I want to be right with her. I want to be right with my staff. I want to be right with my kids and grandkids. I'll be right with the deacons. Father, please, it could be the final call today, the last call. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'll never stand before God in judgment for my sin because Jesus paid it all. I know I'm saved. I can go back to a date in my life when I know I asked Christ to save me. Could you, with no one looking, slip your hand up? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I am. You may put them down. The vast majority, but I tell you what, there had to be about 30 or 40 people could not raise your hand. Maybe I wasn't clear. But I imagine there's at least that many, if not more. You need to be saved. Make this, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Get saved today. In a moment we'll stand, in a moment we'll have the pianist play, and there'll be pastors here, there'll be ladies here to deal with the lady and a man to deal with the lady. You could be saved today. Someone could just, we'll not have you come to the pulpit and speak. We'll just, it's between you and this person that leads you to Christ. Some of you are away from God, full of hate and anger and frustration. Maybe today's the day you need to get right with God. Father, speak, please. Speak as you have been all morning. Our heads are bowed. Let's stand together, please. The pastors come. Soul winners are here. Ladies are coming. Men are coming. We're ready for you. You don't know. Here's one of our pastors, and the doctor said this week, you have cancer. His wife's been hospitalized so much. Here's Mrs. Flores. Her husband's been hospitalized again this week. We don't know. We have no idea what the future holds. Here's this young man, Trevor, just a young husband, two little kids. 40 pounds in 30 days. God bless him. What a wonderful young man. Would you come right now? Regardless if you raised your hand or not, come right now. Come right now. All over the house. That's it. Don't lose this opportunity. Don't lose this opportunity to get saved. You say, well, if I get saved, I can't live the Christian life. No, you cannot, but God will help you. I can't get rid of this addiction. I know, but God can help you. Are you saved? If you died, where are you going? We had a casket here this week, a funeral here this week. We have them all the time. Ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus called. Are you saved? Bus kids up there, God bless you. Many raised your hand, but many did not. Are you saved? I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you and respect you. You get on the bus and come to God's house. I appreciate you. A lot of them waving at me. I love those kids up there. We want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. Do you need to come to Christ? Lord, as we continue to this brief last few moments, God, is there somebody else that needs to be saved? Please, this morning, save souls. Draw people to yourself right now at this very moment. Bless these dear, dear people. Lord, they got up this morning, got ready, came to church. Thank you for them. Bless every life, every marriage, every home, every child, every mother, every dad, every grandma and grandpa, every aunt and uncle. God, may these be great days for the North Valley Baptist Church as we seek to prepare our people for that quick return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Thank you that soon we're going to see Jesus Christ. Save the lost, we pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Stay as long as you need to stay or want to stay. Is there anyone else? Bus captains and drivers, will dismiss you. If it'll help up there, we'll dismiss the bus kids if we need to get them on the bus. Without him, I'd surely fail. The song is playing. For without him, life would be hopeless. And I'd be sinking like a ship without a sail. Look right here, if you will. Let's sing that chorus together. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Please don't turn him away. Please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost. Oh, without him, how lost I would be. You're such a wonderful crowd to preach to. I hope it's not like I'm preaching at you. I'm in this thing with you. You pray for me, please. I want to get one day to the end of the journey, and at the end of the journey, be right with God. I want to live that way today. And I want you to live that way today. I'm thinking about right now in Midwest, it's about 2 o'clock. It's almost exactly 28 years ago that niece of ours right now was killed. Never expected it. Right on the family farm road, turning down the dirt gravel road, God took her. Well, we're grateful you're here. We'll baptize in a moment. Baptism believes we believe Jesus died, was buried, rose again. It doesn't get you more saved, but it's just an answer of a good conscience toward a holy God. We baptize if they're ready, they're not ready. We baptize under 18 with parents' permission. We'll baptize at both properties. I'm going to pass your row. Brazilians, do you need to slip on out over there and get ready for the food? We'll let you do that right there. Brother Reimers, would you give this to Mrs. Treber, Brother Reimers, right there, please? She's got to go pick up some more food at home that's in the oven right now. And raise your hand if you're in the Too Committed, our Brazilian Bible class. No, Brother Martinez, you're not part of it. That's good. And we have a picture of who was in class today. We're taking IDs right there. Brazilian. There's this restaurant. What do they call that? You said Fogo something. Oh, that's Brazilian. We're going to have a good time. I don't see them ready. Let me pass your row. When I pass your row, you'll be dismissed.